Now, if I had a rand for every interview I've been asked to do about cannabis and CBD oil and related products in the last 6 months, I would be contemplating an early retirement. Because since the change in our law's approach to cannabis, all kinds of businesses are springing up, looking at different uses of the plant. But it's not really those commercial uses I want to focus on today. Today, I want to talk about the use of CBD oil in medicine, and particularly its application to the management of chronic pain. With me in studio is Dr. Alison Richardson, who is a neurologist who practices at Christian Barnard Memorial Hospital. And Alison, thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Papa.
I think in order to understand how CBD might act on pain, we probably need a bit of an overview of pain itself, because I know there are different types of pain that occur in the human body. Can you give us a broad overview, please?
So when we break down pain, and probably to make it a little more understandable, we've got our acute pain, which is pain that you experience when you cut your arm or you break a limb. We then get our nerve-related pain or neuropathic pain, and that is the pain that our patients with diabetes experience, our patients with injuries to the nerves in the spine. And the last type of pain is sort of our non-specific pain, our migraine sufferers, our fibromyalgia sufferers. Mm-hmm. Those are the patients who experience what we call non-specific pain, but pain nonetheless.
And it can be debilitating, life-changing.
Absolutely,
pain.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, of course, anything that potentially could work on that pain and make it a bit more bearable, or perhaps even make it disappear entirely, is something people get excited about, which is perhaps why there is so much excitement around the potential use of cannabis now that the plant has had its legal status shifted. Again, before we get to the CBD, though, to switch off pain, what has to happen in the body? I mean, if it's an injury, acute pain, the cut in the arm will heal, or the break in the limb will hopefully heal after a cast has been applied. And when the injury is healed, the pain goes away. It's different, though, with the nerve pain and that non-specific pain, isn't it?
So, as you say, that's our chronic type of pain, and that's the type of pain that CBD-based products are targeted towards. We would want, ideally, patients to understand that when they're using CBD or CBD-based products, that it's not going to work for severe pain. CBD is typically targeted towards our chronic pain, but our mild to moderate pain. And again, beneficial in the pain symptoms that I mentioned earlier.
Okay. What is actually happening to make CBD work on pain? Can you explain to us a little bit about the science of what's going on inside the body and the molecules and what's acting on what?
Okay. So our body is an amazing organ, and it has something called the endocannabinoid system. Our endocannabinoid system can be broken down into CB1 or cannabinoid 1 and CB2, which is cannabinoid 2. In patients who use recreational marijuana, for example, the THC that is found in marijuana binds to the CB1 receptors and is actually responsible for the high that you experience when you smoke it or eat it. When we use our CBD-based products, which are THC-free, that binds specifically to the CB2 receptor, which then entices our very own endocannabinoid system to make more endocannabinoids, which then act on the body's inflammatory response.
So it's almost like you're sort of setting off a process in your own body using its own processes that occur naturally, just speeding them up and saying, pay attention here.
That is correct.
Okay. I'm glad you've mentioned the THC issue, because I think a lot of people, there's a lot of confusion around that. People assume that if you're talking about using cannabis for medical purposes, it's going to get you high. That's not necessarily the case, and you want to be quite clear on the kind of product you're purchasing.
Well, this is the thing. With the legislation that has passed, people think that the only or our CBD-based products have THC in them. The legal limit for THC is 0.03 milligrams, which is a pretty low dose. Of course, you have to get your CBD-based products from a reputable supplier. You can't sort of have a friend of a friend of a friend who's got someone in table view who's making it for you. You need something that is processed, that has no solvents in it. It shouldn't have plant matter in it. It should have a clear amber color. Anything that is sort of green and sludgy, is probably not something that is THC free. And whilst that will certainly work for your pain, it's also going to work on your hallucinations, and we don't want that.
Okay, I'm so glad you've mentioned this, because it actually speaks to the very first question that's come in from Joan, asking where should a person buy a proper oil, and can it be done without a script? Because she's relating that her brother-in-law paid 600 rand for a tiny vial. Is that the normal price? And she doesn't say where he got it from, but it is so important that you're getting from a reputable source. Is it something that you do require a script for, or can it be bought off script?
You don't need a script for CBD. And in fact, the interesting thing that I've found with a lot of my patients who've come in saying that they use cannabis-based products is that they're getting their products and they pay an extortionate amount of money for something that's about the same size as an eyedropper bottle. Which is the first problem. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at, in a reputable supplier, at least a 30 mil bottle of pure CBD oil, which will, again, not come with the same not-so-pleasant side effects that nasty green eyedropper bottle will.
So if a patient came to you saying, okay, I'm interested in exploring whether CBD oil can help with my pain, you would obviously direct them to a supplier that you trust in and know is making it properly and processing it properly, and that it's you convinced it's not going to have traces of THC in it. Are there any other risks of buying it from the friend of the friend who meets you at the garage and hands it over in the dark of night, which they don't have to do anymore, but that is what used to happen? Are there risks in terms of, besides the side effects of if there's THC left behind, are there any other concerns around drug interactions or other possible side effects?
Well, CBD itself also has side effects or drug interactions as well. So again, it's irrelevant, I suppose, whether you're getting a THC-based product or a CBD-based product if you're on certain drugs where it's going to interact with anyway. Things particularly that we need to pay attention to are our anticoagulants, things like warfarin, our blood thinners. Interestingly enough, grapefruit oil or grapefruit-based products can concentrate the CBD in the liver. So we have to, in patients who are considering the use of CBD oil, it is ideal either to discuss it with your GP or with the online website that you're interacting with and ask them, is it safe to use with my medication? A reputable website will be able to give you someone to direct your inquiry to. A lot of GPs are now much more open to the use of CBD in chronic pain or any pain condition. It's never ideal to just go out there and pick up your THC or your CBD from the garage and hope for the best.
Yeah, you'd rather be, I'm assuming you want to be monitored by your GP as you would with any other drug or medicine that you take.
Exactly. It is still a molecule. It's still going to interact with your body. Everybody's body is different. Mm-hmm. Everybody will have a reaction positive, not negative on CBD, but it's a case of achieving the ideal dose, achieving the ideal timing, looking at whether other medication you're on. You have to know what you're going in with in order to know what you're going to get out.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about evidence. Obviously, there's huge amounts of anecdotal evidence from people saying, this works, it made me feel better, it made me able to cope with pain. There are, in fact, thousands of years of history of it being used medicinally by the human race. How much clinical evidence is there? Or have there been substantial human trials yet? Or is that something that's still underway? Because obviously the legal approach to the product would have delayed that, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Obviously, a lot of our studies are not South African-based because it has not, up until now, been legalized. But there have been numerous studies overseas where cannabis is legal in terms of what it works on. And in fact, in the USA and the UK, the cannabis-based products, sativa or sativex, have been approved for the use of certain types of epilepsy, which is amazing because those types of epilepsy, which is Dravet syndrome and Lennox-Gastaut, are particularly resistant to traditional Western medication. And it's been found through extensive testing that the CBD-based products are actually calming those patients down. So we are probably a long way from where we want to be, but we're definitely getting there. And there's been a substantial amount of evidence in terms of pain control, appetite, sleep, anxiety, numerous studies on that to show that CBD is certainly effective.
Okay. There are a couple of listener questions coming through, but just to recap for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest in studio with me is Dr. Alison Richardson, who is a neurologist who practices at Christian Barnard Memorial Hospital. And the first comment is an interesting one. It comes from a GP saying, thank you so much. This information is so useful. Is part of the problem that again, because we weren't allowed to experiment with this in law, we haven't had the local research. There's no local or very little local familiarity with the use of the product. Does that extend to the medical profession as well?
Absolutely. You'll find everything from your GPs to your specialists who are very much against the use of it for a number of reasons. One, a general sort of lack of education. And two, they are obviously concerned about their patients. They're concerned about drug interactions. They're concerned about the fact that patients are getting their products potentially, as you said, from the guy at the garage, yep, which has the THC in it. So I understand their reluctance. And if you're not happy with your GP's perspective, you're welcome to do a little bit of online research. You are welcome to email your supplier, your doctor or another doctor who might be slightly more open to discussing the potential use of CBD with you.
Okay. So we've got a voice note that's come through. I'm going to ask you to pop the headphones on, Alison, so that you can clearly hear the question or comment which has come in from Karen. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Pippa. Please ask your guest about the vape CBD oil, which you can get from places like Uncanny. They obviously are reputable, and I'm finding it quite useful. It's basically like the vape pen that you smoke, but it's got no nicotine in it. It's just CBD oil, and we've got watermelon flavor, and it seems to work.
Okay, by way of context, that comes from a listener who whose partner has a chronic debilitating condition and is always, I know, very interested in latest developments around pain control. Any comments on the vaping of CBD oil?
Okay, Karen, so that is a good question. CBD being vaped is obviously still beneficial. But remember that when you use a CBD paste product, you want it to enter the bloodstream as fast as possible. This is why when you base your product, say, with an oil, you're going to put it in your mouth, you're going to hold it under your tongue for 60 seconds, and you're going to allow it to diffuse into the bloodstream. The same would potentially apply to a vaped product because it is making contact with the mucosa, the nasal mucosa, the oropharyngeal mucosa, and therefore diffusing into the bloodstream faster than, say, an ingested product like a cannabis-based brownie, for example, which should give you more rapid results and possibly more effective results as well, because there is more free cannabinoid available in the body for the system to use.
Okay, thanks for the explanation. We've got a caller on the line as well, Wesley in Brackenfell. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Papa. Good afternoon, Doctor. Thank you so much for the topic. And for the opportunity to share something quickly. So I've been involved in a attempted hijacking. After that, developed PTSD, got all the meds from my doctor, which is the psychiatrist. Some of it was sleeping tablets as well. But when I take those, I'm like totally a zombie. I'm dead the next day as well. And I'm talking about physically, I can't do anything. Up until I've used cannabis oil and even edibles I've used, and I've got a much better feeling, but the problem is I have to go and buy it at the garage, and I need some assistance in where to go and to get the right stuff, because, to be quite honest, I'm not turning back to use those methods. It makes me a different person.
Okay, great question, Wesley. How do you know who's a reputable supplier? Alison, where do you start?
Okay. So, again, you just have to type cannabis oil into Google, and you're going to end up with a million hits, often with websites proclaiming marvelous cures that range from the curing of cancer to the curing of your amputated leg, for example. And what you need to stay away from are websites, first of all, that make these enormous claims towards the efficiency of their product. I recommend a website called Oil Science. This is simply because I have used their product myself, because I'm not going to recommend something that I don't believe in. I know that, again, not necessarily Oil Science, but any other product should be able to supply you with a certificate of analysis on an actual laboratory letterhead, not just a email page, for example. Mm-hmm. You need to know that it's free from solvents, that it has been broken down properly, And again, there is a lot out there. Word of mouth is also quite useful. Mm-hmm. But you've got to know your source at the end of the day. And again, going back to Oil Science, which is the brand that I recommend, they have everything available, have all the information available. Everything is on the website. There's a number of blog posts. There's a number of success stories. They've got a doctor on hand to answer questions. So you've just got to know where to go, Wesley.
Okay. Wesley, good luck to you. And I'm so sorry you went through that, but I'm so glad to hear that you found something that is helping you. Right, dosage. Angie asking about what dosage do you take once you've acquired it? Again, I made the comment earlier that like any medication, a doctor's monitoring, a doctor's going to advise you on when to take it, what not to take it with, for how long, in what dosage. I mean, there's no one-size-fits-all figure, is there, Alison?
Absolutely. Again, it comes down to things like metabolism, your weight, your tolerance, the drugs that you're on. So we normally recommend that patients start with a 5-drop dose, which, because it doesn't make you drowsy, is a good starting point. The idea would be to use your product and wait and see how, A, how long it takes to kick in, and B, how long it lasts for. That gives you a starting point, and based on that and in conjunction with your doctor, you can decide, okay, do I go up? Do I take a dose at lunchtime? Do I take a dose at night? But my recommendation for all of my patients is a starting dose of 5 drops under the tongue at night.
We're almost out of time, or we are out of time, but I've got to squeeze in one last quick question. Would you describe this as a replacement medication for what you would formerly have tried for your chronic pain, or do you see this as sort of a new weapon in the arsenal to be used in conjunction with other medications?
So I would be going against my Hippocratic oath if I said that it was a sole replacement therapy. It is very useful as an adjunct therapy. It is very useful in the use or the ability to be able to possibly drop the dose of the medication that you're mm-hmm. on, but it should never be considered as a cure-all substitute. We must remember that CBD is a molecule, not a miracle.
On that note, thank you so much for the very informed perspective you shared with us today. Dr. Alison Richardson, a neurologist who practices at Christian Barnard Memorial Hospital. So if you're wanting to reach out to her to continue that conversation, that's where you'll find her. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.